Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I'm pretty excited about some of the topics that we've got. We're throwing them around and people are taking offense and laughing and making fun. You can always tell when someone feels defensive about the topic or when you've struck a nerve because they'll write back with something like, "Why do you sound like a man?"
I'm offended.
Right. Or they'll pretend not to care like Aaron Rodgers does, even though you know he really does care.
How could you possibly say that?
You can't cancel me. You don't have my number. You're not going to have my number. That's why I miss Aaron Rodgers.
Don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
Between Rodgers drops, which is Jay's favorite, and between the Mike Tomlin drops, which are my favorite, then throwing Dan Campbell and the very eclectic and quirky Mike McDaniel into the mix. Although I've noticed, Jay, this is going to be a problem this year. We've got a Mike McDonald in Seattle. We've got a Mike McDaniel in Florida. I've already done the opposite twice. Man, they're not making it easy on me.
No, that's hard. Yeah, that's yeah.
So we're asking you, in light of Mike Tomlin losing his lame duck status for 2024, much to the chagrin of vocal Steelers fans, I don't think it's the majority. I honestly do not think it's the majority of Steelers fans. But social media generally tends to reflect those who are unhappy. People don't take to social media to tell you how happy they are, at least not on Twix. Twix is more about expressing your displeasure, your disappointment, your outrage.
It's a cesspool.
It is definitely a cesspool, and it's one in which people generally tend to tilt negative. So on Twix, what I hear from some Steelers fans is how much they can't stand it. The Steelers standard should not be just getting to the playoffs. When was the last time they won a playoff game? That's on Mike Tomlin. He needs to go. We have a Steelers fan who calls up, though, and I ask him, who's a better option? And his response is, there are lots of them. Essentially wants to take a flyer on a young offensive coordinator who's unproven. Well, that's not the way the Rooney family operates. It's not the way they roll. And so they disagree with you. And yes, now Mike Tomlin has a 3-year extension that keeps him in the fold, theoretically, until 2027. He's no longer a lame duck. And we had known that they were working on an extension because both Tomlin and the Rooneys addressed it when the season was done. I feel like if you don't acknowledge the quarterback issues that they've had, even at the end of Roethlisberger's tenure, they were more and more reliant on passing. Even when he was healthy, they were far too reliant on passing. And so I would say the last 3 seasons that he was with the Steelers before he officially retired, including the one in which he got hurt in week 2, I think, week 1 or 2, and he was out for the rest of the year. Didn't he get hurt against the Patriots? And then they had their home opener, and that was it. He couldn't even last through the second game.
It was very early, yeah.
I feel like maybe I have the team wrong, but that seems like what comes to mind. Sometimes the details all get merged and melded and and melted together in my brain. But even the year that Ben Roethlisberger was hurt, if you include that year and the 2 years around it, he was throwing way too much. They were way too reliant on the pass anyway. So you take those last couple seasons of the Hall of Famer's tenure, then you look at what they had around him. And some of you have reminded me about Duck Hodges, Devlin Hodges, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, who finally got a shot to start for reals this past season. And what happens? Well, he takes a job somewhere else. Why? Because they bring in Russell Wilson. Okay. Also, Justin Fields. I know they got Russ for relatively cheap. And Justin Fields, same thing. And if there's no better option and that's what you have right now, I understand that it's really difficult when you don't have a quarterback. It's generally the issue and the challenge and the plight of a third of the league every year. You don't have your franchise quarterback. You're looking for your franchise quarterback. You're using stopgap QBs until you can get to your franchise quarterback. I mean, about a third of the league goes through that every single year. And some teams are stuck in QB purgatory. I mean, the Broncos situation is not all that different. Although in the wake of their Hall of Famer retiring, it's been a few more years than what the Steelers are dealing with. So in my opinion, to not have a losing record in any stretch under Mike Tomlin, to not become irrelevant at any point under Mike Tomlin, and I don't mean for playoff wins necessarily. I know that's the standard. You want to win another Super Bowl. I get it. However, in light of the quarterback issues, which is not all on Tomlin, but in light of the quarterback issues, to still be part of the playoff conversation, especially in the AFC North, which is currently the toughest division in football, to me, that speaks volumes about who he is, his standard, the culture, guys who want to play for him. He's accountable. He doesn't make excuses. He's no nonsense. He's constantly looking for something better. He's never satisfied. Yeah, I think there are at least 32 teams. I'll say at least 25%, at least 8, maybe 10 teams that would take Mike Tomlin right now if they could get him. Maybe more than that. Going conservative. Josh finds me on Twix at A-Law Radio. Steeler fan here who's happy with the Tomlin extension. Don't know many other head coaches who could win with the carousel of QBs we've had to use the last few years. Plus dealing with an aging franchise quarterback coming off major surgery prior to the Pickett era. I like that he uses the word era. I'm going to assume he's being tongue-in-cheek there. The Pickett era that lasted, what, 2 years? Not even 2 years?
Yeah, not even.
I appreciate that, Josh. Thank you. So with Mike Tomlin not wearing lame duck status in 2024, our question tonight we're asking you on both of our social media sites, as well as taking your calls, which other coaches in the NFL are in a prove it year? And let's be honest, the numbers would indicate that about a quarter of the coaching staff, well, a quarter of the head coaches, which of course means the dominoes drop for the rest of the staff, a quarter of them turn over every season. It's pretty drastic. So what other coaches that you think right now are on the hot seat or right now need to make a statement in 24 or they could be out in the cold? I don't think they actually do pink slips anymore. These days you find out on social media. It's a social media post that lets you know that you're out on your ear.
Who was the coach years ago? I think it was Alain Vigneault with the Golden Knights, and they fired him and left him in...
Left him on wherever they were on a road trip. Was it Boston? Somewhere on the East Coast,
East Coast, right.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you on Twix at Amy After Hours. That's our show account, or you can find mine. And then our Facebook page, too. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. Brad is in Buffalo. What do you think, Brad?
So I live in Buffalo, and I'm a Philly fan. But I think both Sean McDermott and Nick Sirianni should be on the hot seat.
Nick Sirianni, a year and a half removed from taking a team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the collapse last year,
yes,
it was clearly on him. He had been the head coach. He should have righted the ship somehow, some way.
Yeah, I do agree that the whole coordinator mess, that's, I wouldn't say it's hit, it was all him who created it, because they lost coordinators to other jobs. But the people they brought in were not good fits, and that was definitely on him.
Correct.
I don't know that I would say he's on the hot seat, though. That seems pretty quick, considering they made the playoffs in his first year. They were a bit of a surprise out of the NFC East. And then, of course, got all the way to the Super Bowl and were NFC champions. I don't know that one, I mean, the collapse was bad, but one down year when you're changing coordinators. And now think about it. The guys on the roster will have three different sets of coordinators in 3 years.
Yeah, but if they come in at 500, you'd have to consider making a coaching change.
All right.
As far as the Bills are concerned, ever since the 13 seconds, they've just been going backwards.
They definitely have wasted some opportunities, and I know that stings both inside the locker room as well as outside the locker room.
And as far as Mike Tomlin, he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. He gets the most out of his roster.
I would agree with that. I definitely would agree with that. And now the longest tenured. Brad, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, Jay, you and I had the conversation about Buffalo and Sean McDermott, and you actually made the statement. Now, this was early December, I think, last year. Yeah. You made the statement that if the Bills did not make the playoffs, whether as a wild card or as it turned out, they ran the table, they won their last five in a row, and grabbed the AFC East title, so they stayed defending champs in the AFC East that week 18 of the season, right? And so they were able to catch the Miami Dolphins, and they ended up as the, what was it, the two, no, three seed, four seed? I don't remember now what seed they were, but they were three seed?
Three out, because Chiefs were ahead of them and Ravens?
They had the same record as the Chiefs, but the Chiefs were ahead of them, yes. The Texans were 10-7, so they were the four seed. Texans were the four seed. So the Ravens were the one seed, Chiefs were the two, Bills were the three.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, that makes sense. I do know it's frustrating because they seemingly haven't capitalized on Josh Allen in terms of getting to a Super Bowl. You just have to consider what else is happening in the AFC. That's the hard part. Think about all those teams that fell short in the Western Conference when the Golden State Warriors were going to five straight NBA finals. There were other really good teams there. They didn't need to fire their coaches. It's just the Golden State Warriors were that good. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs are that good. They're a generational team. And so to say that it's all solely on the Bills, it's not just the Bills in a vacuum. You have to consider what else is happening in the conference. But I do agree they've had some very painful near misses.
Cincinnati, 13 seconds.
Right. Cincinnati Bengals are in that equation too, even though they've had Joe Burrow and then they've not had Joe Burrow. Then they've had Joe Burrow and then they've not had Joe Burrow. I think the rise of the Texans and the year before the Jaguars are a big deal. But mostly it's Kansas City and then it's Baltimore in there as well that's made some noise. But I don't know that you can put Sean McDermott on the hot seat. Hop, skip, and jump. I don't know if you can put him in a prove-it situation in 24, considering they did run the table and win the division last year. I don't know. That seems drastic to me. And not to mention the front office has gotten rid of what feels like half the veterans on the club.
That's where I was going to go with it this season, whereas what are their expectations this year going in? Do they expect to win the AFC East again? Do they expect to be better than the Dolphins? Do they want to just get in? I mean, they don't have a receiving core right now, really. Think about
right.
it.
They need Josh Allen to be Patrick Mahomes in that he raises the level of all of these guys and turns them into viable options.
They got rid of how many guys on their starting defense? So are the expectations still the same in Buffalo? I would say yes as an outside perspective, but if they're not...
Because of Josh Allen?
Because of Josh Allen. That's okay. The only reason. Yeah. But if you're on the Buffalo staff and you don't think that, or you want to get this kind of... Do you call it a rebuild? A retool? I don't know.
A reload?
Maybe they didn't really add. They just subtracted.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I feel like that's where you got to assess if you're Buffalo, if what your expectations this year.
And how is that on McDermott? He's not the one that makes those choices. So how is that on McDermott? He doesn't do the roster. I think the fact that they made the playoffs last year and won those five in a row speaks volumes about him and his coaching staff. So I don't know that I would agree that he's in a prove it deal, but maybe some people do. In the AFC East, though, while we're talking about it, I think the Jets are definitely in a situation where Robert Saleh is on the hot seat. There are a lot of people who thought he would not survive, and the only reason he did survive 23 is because Aaron Rodgers got hurt four snaps in, right? So if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and they still finish 7-10, which, you know, likely wouldn't have happened, but even if that was the case, you can't build an entire team around Rodgers and then blame it on the coach. But if they don't do it this year, oh, he's out.
I think it has to look good, too.
Look good doing it?
I think the Jets have to win. Huh. I think the Jets have to look good doing it. I don't think it's going to fly if they're, you know, what's the phrase? I'm getting by with the skin of their teeth every week. Mm. I think it's going to have to look. They're going to have to win. They're going to win convincingly. And it's going to have to look like it's not an absolute carousel in for the Jets franchise.
It's not a roller coaster.
A roller coaster. That's what I mean. Yeah.
What about the Bengals? Because I've seen some people list Zach Taylor going into a prove-it year. I kind of feel like that's maybe a little unfair considering that Joe Burrow's been hurt for a large portion of two of his last three seasons. But
I think that'd be unfair, too. I thought about him as well, but I think with Burrow missing all last year, you got to at least give one more full season before you really assess that. If Burrow's healthy, of course.
We talked about Doug Peterson. Maybe jury's out there, but we talked about Peterson. Let's see. It feels like almost every coach has turned over in the AFC West, except for the Chiefs. In the case of the Raiders, they've turned it over, what, three times in the last 2 years? Goodness. Josh McDaniels didn't last long, so they moved on to Antonio Pierce, but he gets a shot with no interim tag. Broncos, of course, with Peyton now. And the Chargers, they're just starting over too. So, yeah, the Chiefs, still the team to beat in the AFC West. Only team that finished above 500 in that division last year. Mike McCarthy.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's been a popular answer tonight as well. The only Nick Sirianni answer I heard was the one we just got on the phone. What about the Giants? I know there were some people who wanted to see Brian Daboll bounce last season, but I'm not sure that's fair.
That's a tough one because yeah. He still hasn't gotten a chance to pick his own quarterback yet either. So, it doesn't seem like they love Daniel Jones, the Giants brass.
Well, then why give him that deal? You mean the coaching staff?
The coaching staff, I mean, it wasn't their guy. They did made the playoffs over at Chiefs. That's why he got the deal, I guess. But do they really love him? I don't know. It hasn't seemed like it.
The devil you know, the devil you don't know. Let's see. In the NFC North, we just saw the change. Where did we see the change? We didn't see a change at coach.
No.
O'Connell, Eberflus. Obviously,
he might be on the hot seat.
Well, do you think? I don't know. With Eberflus, how can you change the quarterback and go to a rookie and then put your coach in the hot seat? That seems kind of tough. The Vikings, though, with the way they finished last year, that's a tough one because they now are starting relatively fresh at quarterback. A lot of people are pointing to Dennis Allen with the Saints and saying, no way, he needs to be gone. We know the NFC South is a revolving door. I know Todd Bowles, it's not football season. Todd Bowles has kept them on top, the Bucks on top of the NFC South, but it's not like they've had any breakout season under him. Of course, they're also transitioning after Brady. But the Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers, that's all they do is change coaches and quarterbacks. That's all they do.
That's going to happen anyway.
Right. It's going to happen no matter what. What about in the NFC West? We know Pete Carroll is gone. So one of the longest tenured head coaches, he's out. Rams with McVay. He says he's staying and he's committed. So that's good.
I feel like McVay is kind of like he's got a lifetime contract with the Rams where
he might
choose when he wants to go.
And last year they were a surprise playoff team, which is good. I don't think the Niners, you'd even have to worry about that. They've got a chokehold there, right? Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And then the Cardinals, they just are coming off the first year with Gannon and no Kyler Murray, for the first half of that season. So I don't know. There are definitely some candidates. Let's talk to Sam, who's in Birmingham. Sam, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
The first thing I want to say is congratulations to Bob. He got blessed. So that's very awesome. I listen to you all the time. I haven't called before, so I want to say that.
Thank you.
And the other thing, I think Mike Tomlin you know, the fans should be complaining about the front office, if anything, because they had no plan for they went with Ben for too long, and then they had no plan to transition from Ben. So Tomlin, for the last 6 years since they did win a playoff game, has kind of been hamstrung by quarterback play, in my opinion.
Mm.
And I agree with you that, you know, on every front, he's an excellent coach. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is that I'm from Pensacola.
Oh, neat.
And after you go to the Binghamton Blue Angels show, and if you like it, which you will, you need to go ahead and book a hotel at Pensacola the weekend after July 4th. That's when they have their summer show.
Neat.
So not only will you have an excellent beach vacation, but you'll also have a Blue Angels show right outside your window if you get a hotel right on the beach.
Nice. I love Pensacola. I've been there before, yeah, as a teenager, but it's a beautiful area. Yes.
Yeah, I grew up there. I ended up in Birmingham, and I can't wait to get back to Pensacola. my mom and my sister and brother still live down there, so.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so enjoy that. It was awesome to hear about the Blue Angels on the show tonight.
So. Yeah, I can't wait to see them in Birmingham. I mean, it's close enough for us to be able to drive there and to enjoy it, and wasn't a real expensive ticket. So, yeah, this will be the first time ever seeing them. I can't wait.
You're going to love it, and I'm looking forward to the documentary that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, check it out. It's awesome.
I will do it.
All right, Sam, good Very to talk good. To you. Thank you. We've had a correction, and I remember it's all coming back to us now, Jay. The Bills were the 2 seed. Kansas City went on the road, remember? And had to win on the road.
Right, that was his first
Duh.
Road playoff
yes,
game.
Yes, that was his first road playoff game. So
lots happened.
Sorry. Yeah, it's been a long time since the NFL playoffs, but thank you for correcting us. I'm sure people are out there yelling at the radio. There goes the perfect show. There goes the perfect show. Wade on Facebook says, more years of mediocrity. This Steelers fan is very disappointed. All right. Does seem like the disappointed Steelers fans are always more vocal than the ones who actually appreciate Mike Tomlin. But I think Sam made a great point. Although he does have input on the roster, let's not pretend like Tomlin has no oversight. But the idea about, you know, him making this roster completely on his own and the quarterbacks and how that's been a mess. I mean, there's some authenticity and some truth to that as well. Sometimes you have to make an omelet when you have a bunch of broken eggs. And if you do that and it turns out to be relatively tasty, well, that's actually a success in and of itself. So which NFL coaches need to prove it in 2024? On Twix at AB After Hours, speaking of food, and also on our Facebook page. It's close. It's not as close as we would like it to be, but there are mandatory OTAs going on this month. And then, of course, coming up in 5 weeks, Jay, 5 weeks, we've got the start of training camps. Oh, heavens. I need to enjoy my summer now. Before my life is not my own again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Healthy baby skin starts from the bottom. Pampers Swaddlers diapers absorb wetness away from the skin better than the leading value brand, with up to 100% leak-proof protection to help keep your baby's skin dry. Don't forget to pair Pampers diapers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes. They clean better and are 5 times stronger than Huggies Natural Care for easy cleanup without fear of tearing, no matter the mess. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McDavid hits Ekholm, and all of a sudden, maybe a 3-on-1. Ekholm in over the line with Draisaitl. Ekholm shoots, scores through Bobrovsky and trickles home. And Edmonton, on its first shot of the game, has taken the lead in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Now Nico Mikla tried to pass across that. They misjudged that a bit. Sergei Bobrovsky had to alertly chop that one away from the front of the goal. Now in go the Panthers. Lundell, left side drop pass shot. And they scored. It's Nico Mikla. He let it rip. And this game is tied. Nico Mikla, drive out of the high slot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We always encounter what-if moments in sports. And as you're watching this game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, I hope that you noticed and remember that Mikula nearly scored for the other team. He nearly had an own goal. He actually, I don't know, Jay, do you think he just intended to kind of tip it back to Bob or Bobrovsky and let him reverse it? Or, I don't know, what do you think he was doing? Or do you think it was just an errant? Because he kind of hooked it with his stick.
I think he was trying to swing it behind the net and play it to his defenseman.
Oh.
And just didn't play the angle right, didn't realize how close he was. It was actually a nice backhander on net, but
right, he kind of hooked it. It just, yeah, it was just, as you say, the wrong angle if that's what he was doing. And so Bob has to make a save. I don't think he gets credit for that. He has to make a save against Mikula, and then seconds later, it's the equalizer and the tying goal that made it 1-1 through two periods. Here, Jack Michaels there on Oilers radio, and we really need to figure out who the play-by-play announcer is for the Panthers radio network, considering they are 2 wins away from a Stanley Cup.
Doug Plagans, I believe.
Okay, we're gonna have to look it up.
I'll have to confirm how he's
maybe
pronounced.
Someone who's listening to our Miami affiliate, in fact I should have asked our guest, but someone who's listening to our Miami affiliate on AM 560 WQAM can let us know that we have the right pronunciation of that. When I'm not sure, I just go with Panthers Radio Network or the Utah Yeti Radio Network. I'm still on it. I'm on the Yeti. If we can't have the Banthas or the Wampas, or the Wookiees, then I'm definitely on. I like the Yeti. It sounds better than Utah Mammoth. Well,
that was just a chance to hear it right there, like
Utah Venom
flowing. No, that stinks.
That stinks. The Utah Hockey Club is even worse. Who thought that was a good idea? Oh, it's probably some 12-year-old who loves soccer and who wrote it in.
Well, apparently these were narrowed down to these six. Like, they had a group of, it was all fan voted, and now
exactly.
These are like, yeah, the best six. So
I'm on board with the Yeti. Not that anyone asked me to vote for it, but the Yeti's growing on me.
It's gonna win, I think. Can't beat a Yeti. Blizzard.
What if they go with the Blizzard?
You don't have to get sponsored by Dairy Queen. You just have to, just, right?
It makes me want to go to Dairy Queen.
You have to have it on your helmet.
It's unfortunate. And I guess there are some people who are afraid of blizzards. Can blizzards be intimidating? Maybe for all those people who don't know how to drive in snow. But honestly, I like blizzards. So it doesn't seem
get
like
snowed
a,
in.
Yeah, blizzards are tremendous. They're beautiful.
Fire. Kind of peaceful.
The Utah Blizzard, and they get to a Stanley Cup final. It's in June, and temps in Utah are in the 80s. Anyway, we don't get to vote, clearly, because we can't take the whole thing seriously.
I think we do get to vote, actually.
We do?
I think anyone can vote.
We're voting for the Yeti.
I don't know if you need to be a Utah resident to vote. I'm not sure.
Check your license. You do it when you vote this year, like
yeah,
actually vote in the election. They check your registration to make sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, yes, we've got Oilers. We've got Panthers tied at 1. But you know what was different about game number 2 of the Stanley Cup Final? As much as the Panthers didn't like how they played in game 1, they did get the shutout because of Sergei Bobrovsky. in game number two, it was more their style. This was their identity. Limit the number of shots, limit the quality opportunities. Leon Draisaitl only had two shots on goal. Connor McDavid only had three shots on goal, though he did have an assist on their first score, their only score. And in the third period, they end up with a first-year Panther who does the damage.
Kaposo, a shoulder into Evander Kane on the far side of the ice. Out to the line. The puck played down low. Ekblad. Now it's Kaposo on the right side. Around the end boards, Evan Rodriguez here in the near circle. Looked to play it on net. Couldn't get it through. Another try. A shot. He scores. Evan Rodriguez let it rip. And he beats Skinner short side. The Panthers have their first lead of the night. It's 2-1. What a laser of a wrist shot that was. Ekman Larson straight on Rodriguez to Lundell. Anton Lundell near side. Lets it rip. Tipped and they score. Score! Evan Rodriguez got a stick on it, and the Panthers make him pay. It's 3-1. 7:34 to go in the third. Evan Rodriguez has two.
Special. Trying to embrace it, trying to stay in the moment. It's two big wins for our team, and I think we've already turned the page, and we're getting ready for game three.
If you didn't know, this is the furthest distance that a Stanley Cup team has, well, both teams have to travel to get to the other arena. So they've never had a Stanley Cup final that pits two teams that are further apart geographically. And so that's why they have an extra day. So they are not playing again until Thursday. Game three is on Thursday. So nothing tonight. No hoops, no hockey. Instead, we've got game three of the NBA Finals on Wednesday and then hockey again on Thursday. And here are the Panthers, who've never had a lead in a Stanley Cup before this week, and now they're just two wins away. And I thought it was kind of cool that Rodriguez is a first-year Panther, and yet he fits in. If you missed my conversation with Mike Cugno of CBS Miami, I asked him the question of why Rodriguez fits in, especially when, and he called it a moving train, when he wasn't on this moving train that goes back to last year when they were the eighth seed and they lost to the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final. So it's kind of cool to see them in this redemption tour, and they're getting so close, but man, they're all business. And last night's game may have come at a cost. So there was a hit by Leon Draisaitl to the head of Alexander Barkov. And so now we don't know the status of the captain. Maurice was not happy, but he was careful about what he expressed in the postgame.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
This isn't the OWN Network. My feelings don't matter. Again, though, according to Mike Cugno, he was really upset about it. And earlier in the game, they didn't lose. I'm trying to think. It was the five-minute major and the ejection. But the Panthers, in that case, it was a Listerine that he came back. He was off briefly and then came back. Yeah. So still, if you're without Barkov, who's one of your best players and your leader, that can leave a gaping hole. So we'll see what happens. But maybe the extra day can make a difference. As for the Oilers, they get to go home, so that's huge. You can imagine the crowd is going to be crazy. And Connor McDavid, while he did admit the effort is not good enough and they've got to figure it out, he also dares people to doubt them.
It's another opportunity for our group to come together and dig our way out. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. And I'm excited to see what our group's made of. I'm excited to see our group come together. I'm excited to see us fight through adversity. And I'm looking forward to people doubting us again.
I'm looking forward to it. What did Roger Federer say in his commencement address at Dartmouth? You're going to fail a lot as an athlete, or really in life, you're going to fail a lot. It's what you do with that failure and how you deal with that failure. And they've got the right attitude. But still, there's a major sense of urgency here. And if it makes them feel any better, most teams in the NHL can't figure out the Panthers. So, yeah, this identity of theirs, it is forged through the fire. They've been working on this now for a year plus, but they've been a team on a mission. And I don't know how you could be upset about the Panthers winning a Stanley Cup, unless, of course, you're Canadian, but winning a Stanley Cup after what they did last year, or what they, you know, ran up against last year. And The fact that they've never had one in their franchise history, too. So that's pretty sweet. Just the rats, though. I could do without the rats. I'm sorry. I know I'm not a Panthers faithful. It's just, why rats? We see plenty of them. I know there's a story behind it. Octopus, I'm all about that. Rats? Could you imagine being one of the people who has to clean the rats off the ice?
Not the best job.
No.
I'd rather clean the rats than the octopus, though.
Really? How come?
Because the octopus is, like, real. Most of the rats are just fake and plastic.
Oh, I thought they were real.
I mean, maybe some people have real ones. I wouldn't put it past them. But
so you told me that the octopus sometimes get hidden in people's shorts.
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's how they get it in. You have to, like, smuggle it.
Right, you have to smuggle it. So what do they do with the rats?
I think they give them away some nights. I don't know, but everyone seems to have one.
Do you think people smuggle rats into their in their shorts?
I do.
Okay, that's disturbing.
Maybe just run to the bathroom real quick, peek around.
See if I can find a rat. Right? Yeah. That would work at Madison Square Garden, actually.
Got that right.
In New York, that would probably work at the old Boston Garden, too. I remember the players used to complain. Some of the visiting teams, this is back when I was a kid, they would not only complain about the fact that the Garden either had the AC blasted in winter, so it was freezing cold in there, or no AC in the warmer months, right? So that the visitors were really uncomfortable, but also that there were sometimes critters that were prowling around.
A little gamesmanship.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. Nope, nope, nope. Let's see. Michael says on Facebook, you're 100% correct on the Panthers announcer, Doug Plagans.
Got it.
Okay, from now on, we'll identify him personally. All right, coming up. There was a really funny moment. I know that there's many other moments that you might like to talk about as Blue Jays and Brewers fans, but there was a really funny moment that caught the attention of not just the announcers, but the fans and became a major.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Got clock at 4. Doncic. The step back 3. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
No matter what you're a fan of, Texas has the trip for you. There's the trip to Texas and the trip. Or maybe you're the kind of fan who'd prefer a trip to Texas or a trip. Either way, go to TravelTexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Distraction in Milwaukee last night. And also Juan Soto is back, which I know the Yankees are thrilled about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Two at hard left side, base hit past the lunging Witt, trickles into left field. Soto races around third, easily scores. Torres to third, throw comes into second. Another timely hit for Alex Verdugo gives the Yankees an immediate 1-0 lead. A one line base hit for Jose Trevino. That's what he does. LeMahieu scores from third. Here comes Grisham, throws cut off. Jose Trevino doesn't miss in these spots. Two-run single. It's 4-0 Yankees in the fourth. Rodon set. 1-2. Grounded softly up the middle. Torres ranges right. Charges. Throws on the run. Got him. Gleyber Torres makes a play, and Carlos Rodon bears down to complete another spectacular night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Emmanuel Babari, our sometime colleague here on the Infinity Sports Network, one of the rotating announcers for the Yankees radio network in the wake of John Sterling's retirement. So, yes, to the delight of the Yankees and their fans, especially as they've come out of a torrid month of May and are trying to keep it going in June, Juan Soto returns, and the Yankees win again on the road at Kansas City. Big deal now, with so many games to go and Soto in a walk year and the fact that he's contributing. How did he feel?
Feels pretty good. I know it's DHing, but get the feeling of seeing so a couple pitches out there and take some hacks. It felt pretty good.
That's good. When you get out there and take some hacks, I do like that. Anytime you can take a hack, just be careful how you hack, because sometimes that can exacerbate injuries.
As long as it's with just the regular baseball bat, too.
I know that if you ask Luka Doncic to take a hack right now, that probably wouldn't feel so good considering he's dealing with a midsection injury.
To think about it.
Soto goes 1-for-3, also has a walk in there, and right back into the lineup at the 2 spot as the DH. But the issue, of course, is whether or not this is going to be a problem moving forward. Do you have time to heal?
I don't know. I mean, I've been doing a lot of treatments. I've been feeling good. I've been seeing a lot of improvement. Definitely it's not going to go away that quick. So we keep working on it. We're going to keep doing a couple things for the next week and see how it goes after that.
Left forearm inflammation. How many Americans do you think are listening right now and have some type of forearm inflammation and think, wow, I wish I could take off the weekend
and get paid like that?
Sometimes baseball injuries are a little bit frustrating.
Fingernails.
Yes, blisters, right, sometimes. But I know that with the season that's twice as long as, say, the NBA, the NHL, you got to be careful. You'd rather have them for the long haul, especially with how they're playing right now. And, man, how about Carlos Rodon? When was the last time you thought, man, Carlos Rodon, one of the best pitchers out there, 7 straight wins. All right, then. But good for him. And in terms of the standings, it's June. It's too early. But just know that Juan Soto is back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Chicago White Sox, they're in the same plight. By the way, you don't even need to know their record to appreciate Ozzie Guillen, who's a former White Sox manager and obviously is a guy that would like to see them improve, but also really enjoys making jokes at their expense. So this is his latest from NBC Sports Chicago. He's in pain.
What's this?
It's a cactus.
Okay, cactus. I got a seat on it. That might hurt a little less than I just watched today's game.
Oh my goodness.
What did
we just experience?
There's got to be a video of that. It's NBC Sports Chicago. It's a TV network. There has to be video of Ozzy sitting on a cactus and experiencing what he thinks is less pain than watching the White Sox on a daily basis. Is it out there?
Oh, yeah.
Did you retweet it from our... Okay. Yes. Is it a cactus with very large thorns?
It's a cactus. Yeah.
Okay, but a little baby succulent that isn't going to bite you, essentially? Or did he sit on an actual cactus?
No, it's not like one that you're picturing like out in like the Arizona desert. It's still a cactus, though. There's definitely some prickers in there.
All right, let's check it out. All right, you can check it out. I'm checking it out right now on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. NBC Sports Chicago and Ozzie Guillen, they are match made in heaven. That's hysterical, actually. Not quite as funny. That was funny. But what happened in the Blue Jays Brewers game on Monday? This was amazing. It turned into the highlight of the night.
The 0-1. Swing and Guerrero loses the bat on a foul ball. It goes way off to the left and gets stuck up in the netting. It is suspended above the third base dugout. And I don't know how they're going to get that down. I think Vlad's going to get a new bat, potentially. Because you don't want to shake that netting and just have the bat fall 15 feet down. It's way up there.
Well, I bet a lot of those fans are trying to figure out a way how they can get up there and get that bat.
That went way over to the third base side.
So the bat gets stuck. Vlad flings it on accident. He just loses hold of it, and it goes. I mean, it's flying at quite a clip, so it's a good thing the net was there. But it gets stuck in the net, and it's hanging. It's dangling. It's not secure. It's dangling and moving around above the White Sox dugout. So they get this long pole with a ring at the top of it, and in between innings, they're trying to get this bat down, and it really becomes the sideshow, if you will, almost like a circus sideshow at the stadium as they're trying to get the bat down. And then two innings later, people are still watching with bated breath.
We'll update you on the bat saga in just a second. First, the pitch to Kirk, called strike one, and I think you can guess what just happened from the sound of the crowd. The loop that they added to the long pull and hook was able to yank the bat out of the netting and onto the top of the dugout. 0-1 pitch to Kirk, popped up, back of the plate. Contreras holding his mask in his right hand, jogs toward the first base dugout, makes the catch, still with mask in hand. One down. So the Blue Jays get the bat back, maybe for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to use. He would be due a fourth this inning.
Honestly, in a baseball game in the middle of June, when we're not talking about stretch run or playoff pursuit, that's far more entertaining. The bat dangling there and all the efforts that the ground crew went through to get that bat down.
The fan reaction was my favorite.
Yeah, and you could hear it obviously on Brewers Radio. Well, you can guess what happened. That's tremendous. Good stuff. I mean, I'm not sitting on a cactus, but feel free if you'd like to. Which NFL coaches are proving it or have to prove it in 2024? We'll get to more of that coming up on The Hump Show. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.